Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to So I Got Thinking, the weekly Sex in the City podcast where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to Fag Hag Juno Dawson and unidentified older gay gentleman Dylan B. Jones. I mean, you must have seen that one coming, Dylan.
For a second, I thought you were just going to say Fag Hag Juno Dawson and Fag Dylan B. Jones.
Oh man, I wish I'd said that.
lots of that word in this episode. I think it's said, if we're counting fag hag, I think it is said about sort of 10 times, but we can get into that one. How are we?
Was it a Michael Patrick King one?
It wasn't. It was a name I didn't recognize. It was an unfamiliar name. I can't remember. Doing my job well.
We have been watching, if you're not actually watching along with us, and you should. We've been watching season 6, episode 17, The Cold War.
Yes.
We're very much, speaking of The Cold War, we're in the sort of the weird hinterland of good episodes.
Yes.
Dylan, can you remind us what's happening now? We're in the murky Petrovsky era.
So, like, not much really happens in this episode.
No.
It's dumb.
Filler.
Like, it's a
filler week.
Yeah, it's a dumb episode and there's like very little character progression. I guess the main thing is Carrie and Petrovsky and
my boyfriend doesn't tell me about his art.
Oh, my boyfriend's too busy doing work and I was at Pastis and I was a bit annoyed by his friends, like, I thought they were talking about oysters, but they were talking about art. Okay, Carrie, like, the world's on fire, but...
there are children dying, Carrie.
But yeah, it's just more like, it's rumblings, they've obviously, like, injected these rumblings of, like, hardship, quote-unquote, into Carrie and Petrovsky's relationship. So that it makes sense.
Oh, seeds are being sown.
That's the
yes,
phrase.
Clearly.
That's the
seeds
phrase.
Seeds are being sown, yeah.
Samantha Smith gets mistakenly outed in the press as a gay man because Ashton Kutcher takes a picture of him, which is interesting. So Samantha gets pissed off about that because she doesn't want people to think she's a fag hag. We can talk about that term because I think that's quite interesting. Charlotte enters Elizabeth Taylor into a dog show. Even though this was dumb as well, this was kind of my favourite bit.
Well, because Charlotte is just so proud of that dog.
Yeah, and it's quite...
And as a dog mum, yeah, I get it.
And
it's
quite pure and just, like, nice. And then...
We'll talk about the logistics of taking your dog, whom you know to be on heat, off the lead and setting her free into a bunch of male dogs. In You Deserve Everything You Get News, but we'll come to that later as well.
And then Miranda. Gets
her Wi-Fi.
Not really much at all for Miranda. Tattletale and Wi-Fi for Miranda this week. And a log on the fire in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we can't all have a plot, I'm afraid. that would just be too much, well, unless we're in Unjust Like
That. I was going to say, that's what they're trying to do in Unjust Like That.
9 characters, all with a plot, please. Including Rock and Lily. And if everybody gets a plot, you get a plot and you get a plot.
I had Gossip Girl on the other day, And it made me realise there are as many characters in Gossip Girl. Like, there are a good, like, they've got, because the parents are characters too. There's, like, the teens and the parents. So you've got a good, like, 9 characters in Gossip Girl. But Gossip Girl, it's fine. I think because they sort of put some to the background for a bit. They do it, it's a well-written show, mostly.
And remember, the episodes are technically longer as well.
That's
so they did
true.
Have further ground to fill.
Yeah, some of them are, like, coming up on an hour. Yeah, that's true, actually.
And I mean, God, she was in it for 6 years, and Vanessa really never got a storyline, did she?
Yeah, that's true. Oh. She'd come back after like 3 episodes, and you'd be like, oh yeah, Vanessa.
Oh yeah, Vanessa's in this. Yeah, that one woman of color is in this show. They can't give her a plot, but
that they've forgotten, that they keep forgetting about. Yeah,
the working class woman of color. Yeah. But then again, there's a whole. Maybe we should start a new podcast where we watch that cursed reboot of Gossip Girl that everybody hated.
Oh, I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
No,
I've got
I only
a real
watched the first episode.
Not on the same level of Sex and the City, but I've got a real soft spot for Gossip Girl. It's just like very aggressively noughties in a way that I love.
I love Jenny Humphrey, so when she left I lost interest a bit.
She left to be in the Pretty Reckless, which is one of my favorite bands.
Who's a rock star? I am. If you get that reference, come and sit with us. Okay, so the Cold War. We should, I suppose, attempt to answer Carrie's question, which is, without sharing your worlds, can even the hottest relationships stop cold?
And then cold comes up in big letters on her triple screen, on Petrovsky's triple screen computer. I suppose it's not a bad question. It's not like some of the questions where it's just irrelevant. Like, we can talk about it.
The important... Although I would say... So we're because now we're so into the plot where we need to get Carrie to France.
Obsessed with the Grande Dame.
Obsessed. La Grande Dame. Got side stories. Because we've got to get Carrie to France. The question is sort of irrelevant, to be honest, because really what we just need to do is we start to, I guess, maybe for the first time in all 6 seasons, we are meant to not side with Carrie, like, deliberately. Obviously, there are many times where we're like, oh, Carrie's such a dick. But this time, I think, as an audience, we are meant to actually be with Miranda, where Miranda, when Carrie doesn't turn up for brunch, she cancels brunch to stay in bed with Petrovsky and have him touch her feet. And Miranda's a bit, and then Petrovsky doesn't show up for their arranged drinks, and Miranda's a bit, and this will continue through into next week and beyond as Miranda starts to have increasing doubts about the healthiness of Carrie and Petrovsky's relationship. And I think what this episode does, much more so than provide an exploration of how much should one share of oneself with your partner, it's more about, is Petrovsky's behaviour red flaggy? And in this episode, he's increasingly 2 red flags. He's quite controlling and quite isolating. And we all know, I think, you know, as people and as women, you're sort of trained to look out for the signs that your friends might be in less than healthy relationships. And those are 2 of the biggies. Like, does your partner tell you what to do all the time? To use a generalisation, I was about to say he, but actually I think this is very true of same-sex relationships as well. Does your partner control what you wear, what you order in restaurants? Do they control when you're allowed to go out, your social movements? And in terms of isolating, I've known various friends who just drop off the radar,
just get absorbed into their partners.
It's so unhealthy. But I do think as an audience, we're meant to think it's unhealthy.
You're right about those 2 things as well, because in some ways they're the most dangerous ones, because they're the ones that can be hidden and happen gradually, like insidiously. And then you turn around like 2 years later and like you've got no friends and no life and you're just controlled by this person that you live with. Ooh, I've dated people who have had shades of that. I think we all have.
I'm sure. I've once quite accidentally, well, I don't want to get into anybody into trouble, because this is actually a relationship that ended really well, and I think in many ways it was a really healthy relationship. But I will say this ex never paid much interest to my friends, and I would spend a lot of time with him and his friends.
Yeah.
And it was only kind of when the relationship was ending that I was like, this guy, I've slotted in with his life. He hasn't made much of an attempt to slot in with mine. And that was kind of one of the reasons why we sort of started to wind it down a bit, I think. And we were just quite separate.
Mm.
But I've definitely seen it happen with pals.
Mm.
And it's never, it's, life would be so much easier if villains behaved like villains on television, if it was like soap opera abuse.
Yeah,
where kind of like, can you remember Trevor from EastEnders, who might as well have been wearing like a cape, minding, you know, like sort of hitting people with, was it an iron he hit Little Mo with? Whereas I think sometimes that is what domestic violence looks like, but sometimes it's just someone saying, well, no, you can't go out because I can't watch the children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why can't you watch the children? They're your fucking children, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Or sort of like, oh, you know, you can't, you haven't got any money. Well, yeah, that's because you haven't shared your finances. You know, sort of it's way more insidious. And that's why kind of the Karen Petrovsky thing is chilling a bit, because we've talked about this before, and so I got to thinking the fact that Petrovsky has so successfully love bombed her, and we see more of that here. He's like, oh, stay in bed where it is warm, and then she doesn't leave the house for 4 days at the detriment to her career, because she hands in her column length.
Yeah.
She misses a meeting with her friends.
Yeah.
You know, she's deleting messages from her ex, which, that's a judgment call as to whether you think that was healthy behavior or not.
And also Big, speaking of Big, he doesn't particularly get involved in her life, but he's also certainly not controlling, actually, is he? He's very like, you go and do your thing, like, you go out with the girls, like, I'm gonna do my thing, I'm gonna just stay at home and smoke a cigar. And that's fine,
which can be the other way. You know, that can be quite emotionally, like, emotional neglect. You know, if you think that somebody's in no way invested in you, that's the other side of the spectrum. And so you can see, again, looking at the bigger picture, given that Carrie, you know, the main love of her life was kind of this very withholding man.
Yeah.
You can see why she would be susceptible to a bit of love bombing, because Petrovsky is kind of the opposite of Big.
Oh, when he's like kissing her in bed, kissing her back in bed again. And when he's with his hands down her top, like in the middle of the
in
day.
In a restaurant.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I thought,
because that's again, she says no.
Mm.
And he continues. She doesn't want him to read her column, but he does.
Mm. Yeah, that bit was very very narcissistic awkward behavior when he like read her column out. I really liked his friends. I think they captured like that particular kind of snooty liberal elite very well.
I liked the nice gay painter guy. He seemed fun.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't like I didn't like her friends. I thought like that Audra, the editor of Art Life.
Oh, she
magazine,
was foul. She was
awful. But like,
what did Carrie call her?
A stuck up bitch. But we've all met those people. When she was like, the world is waiting with breath that is bated. I was like, oh god.
Fuck off.
I've met you.
Fuck off.
I've met you, Audra.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was quite an interesting scene, I thought. I wrote down something unrelated to Carrie and Petrovsky. They're in Pastis, which is very famous.
They are in Pastis.
New York restaurant. And we've spoken before about how Sex and the City is so on location. It's so the opposite of being on set. And this is a really good example. And I'm hard-pressed to think of shows that do it this thoroughly. So not only are they shooting on location, but they're shooting in, like, a real restaurant and name-dropping that restaurant. And you see, like, what looks... I mean, they definitely weren't, but it looks almost like a reality show for that reason. And it's cool. Like,
were Smith and Samantha later in Pastis as well?
Yeah, because there was the line, Pastis again, yeah. I wonder if Pastis paid for it.
I doubt it. I wonder... They must have felt there was some benefit at the time to being in an HBO show. You would have had to get permission to do it.
Mm. And they were probably like,
there was,
oh.
They, what's the cake? What's the pastry one that they went in as well? Samantha and Carrie were once in a very famous dessert place that I've completely, the name was completely slipped my mind.
Yeah, there have been a few, and they like get a bagel from, yeah. Like a hot dog from somewhere that Natasha Devon said was like a really famous hot dog place.
Yeah, so I think they were very keen to, you know, make New York the fifth girl.
Yeah, but I was thinking, comparing it to other shows, and I can't think of any other show really that does it like this, like sort of, is so in the real world in that way.
It's a shame, isn't it, that there isn't like a maybe I stand to be stand corrected, but like a show that encapsulates London in quite the same way, where they're kind of hanging out at Annabelle's or Soho House or, you know, those kind of like London Soho institutions are like everybody decamping to Tyab's curry in East yeah. London or something, you know, those places that every Londoner knows about.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I've actually had that thought before. Yeah, it's interesting that there isn't really a London equivalent that I can think of. Probably someone will correct us, and please do, because I'd love to watch it if there is one.
Yeah, I wonder if kind of it's like, because I know that as a writer you don't want shit to date.
Mm.
And so I know that there is a real risk that, you know, and I think it's really interesting, you know, if we were to have a show in London 20 years ago, half the restaurants and bars would have shut by now.
Yeah, true.
You know, kind of because nothing survived the, you know, either there's been two recessions, a pandemic. So I suppose by setting things in the real world, that you do run the risk of having them look wildly out of date about 5 years later.
But it's interesting how they toe the line as well, because like Raw was fictional. Mm-hmm. So they've got fictional and non-fictional restaurants. It's interesting. Interesting world building.
Yes. It's difficult. You know, the more TV writing I do, God, getting things past legal is really difficult. So the reason that Raw will be fictional is because they slagged it off.
Right, yeah.
So they would get sued for defamation. So.
God, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
So yeah, big rings, big... We've not heard from him for weeks and weeks and weeks, but he comes back out of the blue. He sends her 3 answer phone messages. Quite rightly, Big starts to suspect he's pissed her off. You have in the past, Big. Not this time, but I can see why you would think that. But Carrie is so involved with Petrovsky that she deletes all his messages. She doesn't even ring him back. Harsh, Carrie. She ghosts Big.
One of his messages was, "We just put our new cabinet to bed," and it made me think of you. What a line.
But they did used to have the phone sex, but she broke it off when she was with Berger.
Oh, yeah. And I liked that scene where she's telling Miranda about it. It felt like a really natural friend scene when they're at Miranda's and they're just like sharing a
bottle. Yeah, she drags herself to Brooklyn.
Yeah. And then fuck off, like when Steve comes back with the cannolis and Carrie's like, "What a delightful borough." Like sarcastically.
Patronising bitch, yeah. How much, Dylan, do you think you do need to share your interests with your significant other?
I think there has to be some sort of crossover. So, like, for example, thinking of Chris and I, we have a lot of different interests, and he's interested in a lot of things that I'm not interested in. But we have a lot of things that we are both interested in. Like, we love talking about movies. We love food and restaurants. I think if there was nothing, it would really be a struggle. Although I do think...
Very that, yeah.
I think it's important not to have all the same interests, because I think that can get toxic as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember once I had an ex a long, long time ago where he didn't really have his own life.
Right.
It was quite strange. He didn't really have any hobbies or he didn't have many friends in town. And so he... At first I thought this was brilliant because basically he did whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was very, very young at the time. So I was like, this is brilliant. I'm just completely in control.
Yeah.
But then that turned a little bit toxic because I realised I was the only thing in his life.
Yeah, that's not
And that
good.
Was a lot of pressure to be the only good thing in someone's world.
And also people with those kind of brains, maybe this is probably unfair of me, but it freaks me out a little bit. Like, if you're like making small talk with someone at a party and you're like, oh, what movies do you like, whatever, and they're like, oh, I don't watch movies, it's a bit like, are you okay? Or like if someone says they don't like music, like,
Ah, run!
it's
a replicant.
Apologies to anyone listening who is one of those people.
I don't like music.
People have someone but has
all the music.
Not even
all the different types of music.
Not even like the Jurassic Park theme.
Bizarre, but you know, I like that, Max. Similarly, we have things that we do together.
Yeah.
And then we have things that we do apart. And yeah. I quite like that. I like that we have some friends where there's lovely overlap. I'm going out for dinner with some of Max's friends tonight. I like that I don't really know his work friends. Mm. I don't really want to know his work friends. Mm. Similarly, I don't really take Max to work things. He do, you know, if it's like a professional thing, I tend to just go because I can regard it as being like I'm at work.
Yeah.
So why would I take my husband, kind of?
Yeah.
So yeah, I find that a little weird. I quite like that. It's a Venn diagram. I like that there's things I do by myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If there was nothing there, I would worry.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
And it would just get exasperating. Like, it would be difficult to have conversations about anything. Like, you know, what are you going to talk about?
Well, exactly. There has to be... I always say this, there has to be people to bitch about. You know, you there has to be some mutuals so that you can be like, you'll never guess who's pregnant now.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Sometimes, what the fuck are you going to talk about? Just like the weather?
Yeah.
So no, you need that. And there have been times where actually, because Max and I are very happy to do our own thing, that there are times where we're like, no, we really do have to make some time to spend with each other, because... Between my job and, like, I love doing stuff. The idea that Carrie stayed inside for 4 days made me slightly anxious.
I was like, apart from lockdown, obviously, I was like, I don't think I've ever stayed inside for 4 days, like, out of choice.
I like doing one thing every day. Mm. Even if it's just, like, returning an ASOS package and getting a little cake from the shop or something, you know.
Yeah, I have to get out. Otherwise, like, I go mad if I don't get out of the house.
Oh, God, that made me feel a little bit sick, the idea that she didn't go anywhere. Whereas Max would think that was brilliant. He would really love that.
What did we think of... I think we can probably move on from them after this. But what did we think of the final scene when the ladies go sort of bundle over to Petrovsky's when they're all drunk and he's annoyed?
Oh, huge... A huge error of judgment from Carrie.
Yeah.
That was mad. Can you imagine, like, you're a writer, I'm a writer. If you have very clearly said, tonight I have to work, you know, and again, it's one of those things which is if it was any other job, like if Petrovsky had been, let's say...
A doctor,
and she'd turned up at A&E with her girlfriend.
I mean, I wouldn't... I wouldn't put it past Carrie Bradshaw, to be honest.
No, that's true. Like, faking an injury. Car, paging Dr. Petrovsky. Oh, psych, I'm not really dying. I just wanted to meet my friends.
She, like, comes over the tannoy in the hospital while he's, like, operating on someone.
Can Dr. Petrovsky please come to the friendship ward?
It's an emergency.
Like, yeah, no, that was a huge error. But then also Petrovsky was kind of cunty.
He was he wasn't quite as cunty as I remembered him being. He was pretty rude to Carrie. Sure. He was pretty rude to Carrie, but then he was very civil and polite to the other three. But I don't know. Like, I did think that was quite a good scene because it was just a good way of capturing, like, how they don't quite understand each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And I really liked, particularly Samantha, being, like, that awkward. She, like, made a joke, and then she was like, hi, I'm Samantha. And she was, like, awkward. You could tell the atmosphere was, like, not a good atmosphere.
Oh, God, when you've walked in on somebody else's argument. That's one of my favourites, which is, what have I missed?
Yeah, yeah, but that was it. That was what was captured really well, when they were all like,
Yeah, sometimes you don't realise until too late and you've, like, come in and done your little bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, hi! And then you're like, oh, something's wrong here.
And you just know there's something about the atmosphere. Even if everyone's acting normal, you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, John, do you want to tell Juno what you've done? Please don't! I'll just leave.
Or, like, someone starts clanging around a bit too loudly in the kitchen and you're like,
So no, that was a huge error, and I'm not sure because as an author, and I'm sorry to the artists and people, the arts professionals listening to this, but when Petrovsky starts talking about, I saw my work and it is not at all what I expected, it was childish, I'm like, oh, shut up. There are people dying, Alexander. Again, I'm very aware, like earlier this week, I did have a small nervous breakdown about having to change a brand name in a television show. But the only people I talked about it with were the people on that production. Because in real life, if I was to say, oh my God, I'm so stressed out because I've got to change the name of a fictional brand, I really think somebody would have taken my hand and said, there's a genocide happening, Gina. Yeah. Just kind of,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah, it's all we all stress out about our silly things that we stress out about, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a lot, like his reaction, just like very self-absorbed.
And for Carrie to not challenge it and say, I appreciate you're really stressed out with work, but you can't shut me out like this. If you do, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, that was quite, and it was quite out of character for her not to. She's for Carrie, she's quite...
Given how selfish she is.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, yeah, like in these scenes. She's...
Your breakdown isn't really working for me.
She's a bit too sensitive, really, in these scenes for Carrie. But yeah.
So anyway, it all comes to a satisfying conclusion next week as we reach... Finally, we get to a really good one next week. We've got Splat coming up next
Splat
week.
And
it's
then...
time. Lexi Featherston
Tribe
Hive Ensemble.
Splat, and then are we straight into the... Then is it the finale? Was it Splat and then another
Correct.
One? Yeah,
yes,
God,
is.
Right after Splat. Wow.
Yeah. So we're entering the end game. In fact, next week... listeners, will be the last question.
Yes, because there isn't,
because there are no questions in the season finale.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh,
so
my God.
We'll just have to talk
about... Also, I got to thinking.
We'll have to talk about that twee.
We're getting there.
We'll have to talk about that twee ball gown and La Belle et la Bad Boy, that song.
Yeah, it's all coming to a finish.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's take a little break, because when we get back, we have still got cultural appropriation, dog periods... and accidentally seeing your friend's porn, because I have a little story to tell. We'll be back in 1 minute. Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. Dylan is vaping, so I'm just padding. Welcome, Dylan's exiled, so we're fine. We're back talking about the Cold War. I haven't got the energy to talk about Carrie Bradshaw anymore.
No.
So let's first of all discuss Elizabeth Taylor and her starring role in this episode.
I mean, I think it was mostly for the gags just the Elizabeth Taylor gags, which I did enjoy. Like, the one I laughed at the most was when Charlotte, like, grabs the phone and she's like, Elizabeth Taylor's in a dog show. And Carrie's like, what? And then she's like,
I forgot for a minute that Elizabeth Taylor was still alive at this point. So I was like, yes, she thought she was talking about actual Elizabeth Taylor.
And then Elizabeth Taylor got gangbanged in the park. And then someone...
Oh, Elizabeth Taylor.
And then Samantha's like, God, it's like the 80s.
silly. Is that what happened in the 80s? Is that what people were doing? I don't know. So Elizabeth Taylor is, because despite what Trudy Stark said, actually Elizabeth Taylor is show quality. And with a little bit of encouragement from a Ralph Lauren clad Charlotte, it was all good in the hood, even though Elizabeth Taylor was on the blob.
And I loved when Carrie sees that Elizabeth Taylor's on her period and like laughs. And then it cuts to, like, Anthony and Charlotte's faces, like, so, like, serious, like, staring at her. Mm. And Carrie's like, you're right, it's not funny, I'm a woman, I should know better. Really laughed at that.
The line, teeny tiny tampon, always teeny gets tiny me tampon. As well.
Would you enter Prince into a dog show? Could Prince go in a dog show?
Yeah, although he definitely wouldn't win. Oh. I think that's why his owner sold him, because he, for a chihuahua, his ears don't stand up. So he's not show quality because he has floppy ears. Oh. A lot of people don't even realise he's a chihuahua. Stupid people don't realise. I think he's even cuter. I think he's cuter than normal chihuahua because of his floppy ears. But I would, because like Charlotte, I'm obsessed. I love the woman who stops on the street and just screams at him.
Yeah.
Shout out to my other small dog owners, because it happens all the time. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, it's when you're in a real fucking rush. And I've been called all sorts of names for not stopping to let children see my dog.
Oh my God.
I've been called a bitch for not letting children come and play with my dog when I'm running for the Gatwick Express or whatever. I kind of...
That's amazing.
Like anybody out there with a cute dog is going to know that, yeah, it can be a trial.
I was surprised my friend Will, it's no longer a puppy, but he got a black Labrador puppy. Mm-hmm. And we were walking through Hampstead Heath, and Anthony's line made me think of this when Anthony was like, we're on the corner of gay and gay and nobody's stopping. The amount of gay men who stopped on Hampstead Heath for a very dapper, tall man walking a black Labrador puppy, it was relentless.
did they too lay on their backs with their legs in the air? Elizabeth Taylor style.
I think they probably wanted to. It was a funny line when Charlotte's like, she even competed at Westminster. It's just like, I like how Americans just sort of put in Westminster as like, if you're talking about something like esteemed, you just say it's in like Westminster.
Yeah. Well, it's like, sometimes I forget that New York is named after York.
Yeah.
Old York, yeah. Like York, yeah. Near where I grew up, a very pretty town in Yorkshire. Yeah. I forget. We've not had a minute for weeks and weeks and weeks. Stanford and Anthony are both back this week after a massive absence for Stanford. He's not been in it for weeks.
Yeah, and Marcus. Because I think we...
And Marcus.
I was surprised because I think...
Oh, no, Marcus was looking at the beautiful light with Charlotte a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think we thought we had seen the last of Marcus.
Anthony, he was hoping there would be a hot boyfriend for him at the dog show. And indeed, he found I believe he called them a muscle fag.
Muscle fags.
A muscle fag.
And then he said faggy little dogs.
With a faggy little dog. And indeed he did. He found a muscle-bound chihuahua owner in the last shot, yeah.
And then there was another gay man there who hit up Samantha for Smith's number.
we'll get to that next. What did you think about the line where Carrie invites Miranda and Charlotte out for drinks with Petrovsky, and then when Stanford said, I'd like to come, she's like, no!
It's just the girls. I just put...
Why? Is she taking them to a turf rally or something?
I was going to say, I just put the word, why? Like...
Women's Place UK for cocktails?
Why? I do like compartmentalise... Your friend, like, I don't know, it's a mystery.
Bizarre. Like, really? Why does Stanford take it? So weird.
Unidentified older gay man.
So that does lead us nicely to Elizabeth wins the dog show, great, despite having a period on Charlotte's beautiful suede boots.
Kristen Davis looks so beautiful when she's running around the dog thing.
So much so, she charms the judge, yes. Yeah, with her glossy mane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And winning teeth.
Yeah.
So this, yeah, let's segue into unidentified older gay gentleman, Stanford Blatch.
Yeah.
As Samantha's plot, her cancer seems to be in remission.
Yeah.
She's very well for a woman on chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Wearing a variety of exciting wigs, which was your favourite of Samantha's wigs.
Oh, definitely the one at the end. No, I'm kidding. Not that one.
I liked the severe blonde bob was my favourite.
That was fun. I liked the one at the dog show, actually. The sort of cascading.
Oh, I didn't like that one. I thought that looked really wiggy, and not in a good way.
I wasn't mad at the big puffy one.
The afro.
Until she said, sister's got to get ready. And then I was like, no, shut it down. Cringe. Stop it. Yeah, and she had the comb out. No.
Yeah, I mean, let's be very, very clear that was absolutely cultural appropriation. Bad idea by everybody involved.
It's just like I've said before about these things. It is just unbearably cringe. Like, it's just don't. Like, just don't.
Like, the clue is in the phrase afro.
Well, yeah.
Samantha is not African-American, so, yeah. That's the end of that one.
Yeah.
But other than that, the Samantha plot is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Samantha and Smith are out at Pastis. They run into Marcus and Stanford. Some guy asks for a picture and then sells it to Tattletale.
Yeah.
And everybody, the Tattletale magazine insinuates that maybe Smith and Marcus are a couple. Mm. And in a very un-Samantha-like move, she decides to make a sex tape to prove that she is not a fag hag.
I like it when she's briefing Smith on what to say. She's like, now remember to say, Samantha Jones, I could fuck you all night long, Samantha Jones. That bit was fun. But yeah.
Address. Yeah. 3C, Meatpacking District.
But yeah, it was a dumb, just dumb.
Because also, I can't imagine as his publicist that Smith is an up-and-coming Hollywood actor. Him having a sex tape isn't going to help his career. Like, while obviously sex tapes launched very much the career of Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, I don't know how seriously either of those women was taken after a sex tape.
Yeah, because I
think it can be a stain on a career, really, can't it?
I kind of thought when he said to her, are you sure you're okay with this? I was more a bit like, she should really be asking him if he's okay, because it's his face. He's the famous one. Yeah.
Really weird stuff. Like, it feels almost like a cute plot point rather than wise move on Smith's part, although he does end up playing a TV doctor, so it doesn't harm his career in the end.
Or maybe it does, it's because he was in the Gus Van Sant movie, but then he went to playing a TV doctor. Maybe it was because of
that's
the
true.
Sex maybe tape.
He couldn't get serious roles because of his sex tape.
Yeah, so he ended up on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, the term fag hag, which is very just a bit dated, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what I don't like about fag hag is that there's sort of like something a little bit misogynist in the notion that a woman who can only befriend gay men is a hag, because obviously she wouldn't be hanging around with gay men if she could find a husband.
Totally. That's what it is. Because I was thinking about it and I was thinking, am I offended when straight women use it? Because it's got the word fag in it. But then I was like, actually, no. Like, it's more offensive in a way when gay men use it. Because it's like tinged with that really... Every so often that you get with some gay men, there's a really unpleasant tinge of misogyny.
Yes.
And that's a good example of it, that term.
Whereas, you know, there are so many ways... You don't need a special word. In the year of our Lord 2024, I'm not sure you need a special word to describe a woman who is friends with a gay man.
Yeah, no. And to be
fair... Other than, this is my friend.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I think that term has kind of truly died. Like, I haven't heard it in years.
Do you find it weird, though, that there are still some, and I'm not naming names, but there are still some gay men who only seem to socialise with other gay men? And I understand it historically when it was safer for gay men and gay women to socialise very much within their group, within a community. But now it feels like I wonder if there's less of a need for it. It really blurs my mind that you'd need a word for a female friend.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, I've got some people, I can think of a few people I follow on Instagram who fit this bill. And the thing about it is, you must have to be quite, it must have to be a very conscious decision, because, like, to only be friends with gay men, because I would find it very hard to only be friends with gay men, because so many people in my life are not that. So they must, like, maybe this is unfair of me to say, but they must, like, almost cut people out, which is interesting, but it could be because of trauma. Like, maybe they only feels, as you said, like, they only feel safe with gay men. And that makes an interesting argument for the, like, ever ongoing men only spaces debate. And more recently, women only spaces.
So, where was it? London Fields, where they've just opened the new lesbian bar? And literally, it was heaving. There was pictures. And it was just, it looked really, really fun, but it really highlighted that there's just not nearly enough lesbian spaces in London.
London sorely,
or anywhere, to be honest.
London sorely lacks that. And considering the amount of queer women I know, like, London really lacks that. But anyway, interesting. Thing.
So let's go from segue again, another segue from the sex tape to Miranda and Steve. The Miranda's slight plot is how much she's still adjusting to life in Brooklyn. Broken Brooklyn. Because she's as soon as she gets her Wi-Fi installed, not Wi-Fi, it would have been broadband. As soon as she gets her broadband installed, she decides to click on a leaked sex tape, which is, so I'm guessing that Miranda's life is plagued by viruses. Don't click on those links. And she sees the, you're a hot piece of ass, Samantha Jones. I could fuck you all night, Samantha Jones. Recently, some friends of mine sent me a friend in a similar video. Like, is this your mate? And I was like, yes it is. And you know what? It was honestly like The Ring. I felt I had to pass it on to other people, because if I didn't, my friend in 7 days' time was going to crawl out of the TV and bum me.
Crawl out,
like,
of your phone.
I really worried about that. So I'm not sure how I feel, other than, so I slightly appreciate Miranda's trauma on that one, that slightly shell-shocked face she had at the end. Because when I clicked on it, I don't think I realised it was going to be quite as graphic as it was. There was, I don't know how else to say it, Dylan, there was hole.
Do you know what? I'm kind of, it says a lot though, doesn't it, about like the world that we live in now. I've had a couple of similar things, but I'm kind of like desensitised to it now. I'm kind of just like, okay.
What, people sending you your friends' adult films?
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times. And to be honest, like, I'm so desensitized to just images like that in general. I'm just like, kind of like, okay, whatever.
This is all adding up to my new theory that we should, as a universe, switch off the internet for 1 week.
Oh my god, that's a great premise for a movie.
Yeah, it's probably already happened. But if you can think it, it's already happened. Like, obviously, I want, like, the nuclear codes to be safe. Mm. And I want like, life support and the banks to be okay.
Yes, yeah.
But for mere mortals, we all need to go outside and touch grass for 7 days.
Yeah, I think I am, like, really quite worried now. Like, I think
we'd be like junkies. We'd just be looking at our phones and putting them down. Like,
do you know what actually really made me worry the other day was my local cinema, Picture House Finsbury Park, is very good cinema, and they have made the decision to, they've blocked phone signal inside, so you can't be on your phones in the cinema.
Respect that.
But there was this woman a few seats in front of me. I was watching Poor Things. Mm-hmm. This woman a few seats in front of me, she just had her phone out. She could see, she knew that she didn't have any signal, but she was on Instagram and she kept trying to refresh it. And she kept doing it. She kept getting it out. Like, she'd put it away for half an hour, get it out again and just try again. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, we're all fucked.
Do you think she didn't know about the signal blocker? So she honestly thought that there was something wrong with her phone or something?
It's unlikely. I don't know. Because she was with like a group of...
Oh, God, I would have told her to put that away. Ugh, nothing fucks me off more than people playing on their phones in a cinema. Like,
yeah.
For real.
Yeah, no.
And I do. I'm that bitch. I've become that woman who's like, your phone is very distracting.
Good for you. I don't have the courage to do that, but I respect the people who do.
Do you know what? It's more as a woman, because I think I'm probably less likely to get punched in the face.
True. Yeah, true. Mm.
I think, yeah.
Oh, my God. I got accosted the other day in a shop, like this kid, like with a hoodie up, like pushed past me, and he was like, move out of the fucking way. And I just, for some reason, I had just had it, so I like turned around and I was just like, oh, fuck off, I wasn't in your way. And he like dragged me out of the shop and started like shaking me, and for a second I was like, I'm gonna get stabbed. And then enough people sort of started to notice and come over that he ran away. But I was like, Jesus, don't say things to people.
Oh, wow. Where was this?
Just in Haggerston, in East London. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scary.
What's the world coming to?
Yeah.
Again, we just need to turn the internet off. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
It's time. If we all managed before the internet, would my job be harder on every level?
Yes.
I'd be looking at microfiche in a library.
How would we do this podcast?
We'd have to do it live.
Yes. On a stage in a field.
Yeah, sort of. We'd put on a festival. Yeah, it's how Glastonbury happened. We'll go stand on Hyde Park Corner, is it?
And just like start
Speaker's Corner.
And just start talking about Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And our fans would materialise.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, yeah. I got spotted, I go to a dance class.
Oh, yeah.
In Brighton, and I got spotted at my dance class. I'm like, are you Gina Dawson from So I Got to Thinking?
Oh.
I was like, yeah.
Lovely. I
looked like an actual bit of toilet paper, so I was really delighted.
That's always when it happens.
Oh, always, yeah.
I've been spotted once or twice around. I was walking down the road, just around my local area.
Do you think, you know, you've got a really sexy voice? Do you think you'll, after So I Got to Thinking is finished, you'll branch out into doing voice work?
I would love to do voice work, actually.
You should. Could you briefly sell me a new type of chocolate spread, please? Go.
So
it's called, I'll give you a title.
Okay.
It's called Dawson's Chocolate Spread.
With milk sourced from cows in the foothills of the Alpine peaks. Dawson's spread is delicious on a bagel.
Oh, it does sound delicious on a bagel.
Dawson's spread is delicious. How was that? Was that good?
If you're listening, Dylan B. Jones is available.
Book me.
To sell products. Yeah. Thank you. So there we are. I don't think there's nothing else to add about Miranda's tattletale. So there we go. We have answered the question. We're mostly just excited because next week we finally get to Lexi Featherstone.
Yeah. Great stuff.
It's great. Candice Bergen is back next week as well. It's all good.
Yep.
Wallace Shawn from Clueless and Gossip Girl rocks up. It's all good.
Yeah.
We asked a special guest to come on, and she said no, so fuck her. We won't say who it is. We'll leave that to your imagination. You see what you can think. You're our special guest listener. You are our... We don't need fancy people.
No.
Because you're our special guest. So join us next week as we really do enter the end game of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
Until then, stay nice and warm like Harry does.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.